Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for August 1st, 2017. I'm Paul White. We begin a brand new month. We're going to take a couple of days break from our study in the book of Romans, where we're going with Paul through that great book. When we get back to it, we're in 11:13, in case you want to do your own catch-up. And I'm normally, for the last several months, stretching back into, April, we've been doing a guest spot here at this time of the month. First two or three days of the month, we'll interview or just do some Q&A with different ministers and different ministries. I've liked to try to open up some of your exposure to other people. I have one of those, but I don't have it ready, and because of travel, I just haven't been able to get everything together. It was a very, very, very busy month, so we're going to save my guest, and I'm not even going to tell you who it is. We're going to save my guest for deeper into the month, and maybe even into September, but I'll get it edited. It'll be great, and I mean that. You're going to love it, but for the next couple of days, here's what I want to air for you. Now, a few months ago, I aired a sermon. I'd done a little sermon in a conference, broke that up. Done the interviews, done the Q&As. Every now and then, I take my, I'm on a walk or just in a spot, and I have my phone, and I hook up my little lapel mic, and I always have that, nearly always have that with me somewhere close. I keep it in my work bag with my laptop. And I plug in that little lapel microphone, and I will hit record on my phone and just walk my way through a thought. You know, it'll be something I'm studying. I might have written notes on. I might be working on something that might turn into a sermon, or I might just want to work my way through some things. I was on this last trip across America. I was in some city. We were maybe two-thirds of the way done with the trip. And I put the microphone in the phone one day and took a little walk. And I just talked about some things I had written down and had been on my mind. Some of it I deal with, some of the issues from church from growing up, and others is things I learned in ministry. It's not for an audience, so I'm not trying to connect. You know, I'm not trying to speak into your life. I'm just speaking into my own thoughts as we go. And you will hear ambient noise. You will hear birds. You might hear a truck go by. I'm in some little lot where I had parked and walked. But it's musings of mine on the anointing, what that looked like in my mind as a child, what I found it to be in my adulthood, and what I believe it is in the Word, and what that means. All right. So I'm not going to say a lot more. Today, and I won't say much at all tomorrow. Let's get into it. It doesn't take long, but I'll split it into 2 days, and I hope you're blessed. A lot of discussion's been made in my life about the anointing and what that looks like, and I know I thought of the anointing as this tangible thing that moved you emotionally, kind of took over your body and caused you to say things you weren't smart enough to say, or perhaps gave power to things that without that sway of the anointing wouldn't have been all that powerful. And so I would pray for the anointing and ask the Lord to help me and anoint me with this divine smearing before I preached. Sometimes even use anointing oil, thinking that tangible oil might bring on some physical, tangible anointing. And I thought I could affect it. I thought I could get more of it. I thought I could hurt it. I thought if I prayed more and studied more that He would anoint me more. And I thought if I did things to hinder it, it wouldn't be there, and I might get up to preach and then it would just be me. And I remember I would say things like, well, there's nothing in the world worse than getting up here to preach without the anointing. But if you'd asked me, I probably would have told you I'd never done it, because I always felt like I was pretty darn anointed. And
looking back, I know now a little bit more than I knew then. And I think a lot of what I was calling the anointing was just straight up emotion. I was pretty excited about myself. I could kind of preach myself into a frenzy. John says that we all have an unction of the Spirit in us. That Greek there is anointing. So we all have the anointing. Jesus was anointed with beyond measure, so it kind of indicates that maybe the anointing can be measured. In Jesus, it couldn't be. I haven't found a way for it to be measured in us without a tangible physical metric, without us coming up with some, you got to do this and then you get more. And I think that flies in the face of the new covenant. So I think I have had to determine what is the anointing about and what is it for? What do we do with it? Is it just to get up and feel like you said something with more umph than you would have if you hadn't had that anointing? That doesn't seem very effective. I know in Acts 15, when Peter speaks to the council in Jerusalem and tries to convince them, and successfully convinces them, or at least as successfully as they were ready for, that Gentiles could receive the gift of salvation by grace, namely the Holy Spirit, Peter makes a statement, and I think it's in the 10th verse of Acts 15, where he says, why would we put a yoke upon them, speaking of the Gentiles, that neither us nor our fathers could bear? And that yoke tied Israel to performance. They couldn't get away from it. They were linked. They were stuck in a mode of performance, bound to it. And Peter's question is, why would we do this to the Gentiles? It didn't work for us. Now, where that leads me is the thought that if Isaiah 10, and this was a biggie in my Pentecostal heritage, was the old Isaiah 10 verse of the anointing breaks the yoke. And what does that mean? Well, for us, it meant that if you were in bondage to sin, then if you would come and hear an anointed sermon, that anointing would break your bondage of sin. And the physical evidence that it worked was that you would walk down an aisle and kneel at an altar and give your heart to Jesus. And we would attribute that awesome ability to get a total stranger who had been in sin to walk an aisle publicly and kneel down and give their heart to Christ, we'd attribute that to our powerful anointing, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Now, in our defense, we also saw what I look back and think was a pretty positive aspect to that scripture, and that was that the anointing wasn't for all this frivolous foolishness. And so if the anointing was to break yokes, then the anointing was not to get you to shout. And the anointing was not to get you to run. And the anointing was not to get you to, in some sort of stretches of charismania, fall down or roll over or even farther out of the reaches of charismania, bark like a dog or whatever. It's all some weird stuff.
Well, thank you for listening today to the Deeper Daily Podcast. This has been a little recording that I did with what I would probably just call musings on the anointing, thoughts about the anointing. And I will give you the rest of this tomorrow. Until then, have a great day. God bless.